stand and look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor,
He cared for you. He cared for you. Sunshine and shadow. He cares for you.
Another brother.
Of heaven are open. The windows of heaven are open. And the blessings are falling tonight. Hallelujah. Of heaven are open for you. Why don't you want to use your hand and worship the Lord? Windows of heaven are open.
Let's rejoice.
Your hand. clap our hands to our God again. Amen. Okay, sit down one moment. Let's talk small, then we continue. Can we have some few minutes to take some questions? But if there are no questions, I will fly on. Okay? Any questions? Any questions, I will answer.
Good evening, sir.
God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. You said the reason why Isaac loved Jacob was, but he didn't complete that statement. Sir, please. What was the reason why? That's just the question.
Okay.
Thank you.
I said the reason why Isaac loved
Jacob.
No, Isaac loved Esau
more than Jacob.
It's very obvious. Two reasons. One, that was the senior son. So that's the one that is supposed to inherit. And secondly, he was always making bushmeat to pursue for him. He was always making bushmeat pepper soup for him. He was a hunter. He would go to the bush and prepare special bushmeat. That's why he said he should prepare it for him to release the final blessing, but that blessing didn't get to him. Okay, God bless you. That means you are listening. Yes.
Church, praise the Lord. Sir, please, there's an issue that is a bit confusing to me, which I believe God through you may be able to give me a direction on what to do. I have an uncle, and something happened recently. My uncle sent one of his sons to go and drop a charm for my younger brother. And when he left, my brother saw the charm and brought it back. In fact, he brought it back to the family, for the family, and showed them, look at what his own brother, because he took him as his brother, came to drop for him. And funnily, during that particular week again, my father just came around and was kind of trying to do one or two things within the compound, close to one banana tree. And he saw another charm, and both the one that was seen in the compound and one I was brought back from where my brother was living outside the state were similar. Now, and for some time I've been praying to God that God should expose certain things which I know that God's doing. Now, and the youth in my community, we have this policy, we made it a law that anybody that is found in similar things must be brought before the community square and made to go through certain processes now, or ostracized. In fact, he must swear certain oath, or he's ostracized from the community.
So what's your question?
So my question is this. When this happened, I wasn't around, but one of my other uncle now was doing everything he can to cover the matter within the family. Now, I am asking, because I was discussing with my elder brother. He said that when the youth are meeting next time now, it should be part of the meeting, the issue that should be discussed. Then he will not tell him that now, if this happens now, it will create an enmity between us and my uncle's children, because automatically he may not survive it.
What's so, your question?
So my question is this. Now, bringing this man before the youth, before the public, because I know the consequences. Or should we just keep the matter within the family? Because that's what they're trying to do. So I don't exactly know how to go about it.
Now, one interesting thing is this. How will my advice now influence your decision?
It will, sir. I believe it will. That's why I'm
asking. Are you the head of the family? Do you have the final say?
I have a say, but not the final say.
So how will it influence?
I can influence my family. My family hears me.
Okay, if you can influence your family, then you should be in the business of keeping the family together and not scattering the family as a Christian. I was in that situation one time in my family, a very large family. Muslims and Christians together, so-called. Unbelievers there too. Now, there was a woman in our place that was exposing witches by whatever spirit she was using. And everybody was trooping there at that time. And we understand somebody went there and they mentioned one or two members of my family that we are also in their witchcraft group. And a family meeting was held and that they should carry such people to that woman and every other person in the family, those they suspected, they should go there for the woman to confirm who is a witch or not. And I told them that they are trying to scatter the family. We will not go anywhere. Anyone that is a witch, let everybody run to his God for protection. Me, I'll go to my God. You go to your God. Let God fight for us. But we will not go anywhere where any member of the family will be labeled and then it scatters the unity of the family. And that advice was heeded and nobody went there. Of course, whoever was the suspect was very happy at my advice. But whatever it is, we go for peace and anything that will bring problem, remember it is a spiritual thing. So we must learn to handle spiritual matters spiritually. That is my advice for you.
Thank you.
Yes. Someone on the line, Elvis from Thailand. God bless you.
Yeah, shalom, church.
Shalom.
Yeah. First of all, I thank you very much for what you are doing. And I have two questions that I want to ask. When Elijah was in the world, Elijah was the owner of Elijah, and Elijah received double anointing from Elijah. And it was supposed that Gehazi was supposed to be married to the anointing of Elijah as well. And Bible recorded that Gehazi, because of his pursuit of material things, never received the anointing. Now my sister life, the Bible recorded that Elijah died and they brought a dead body that was to be buried close to his grave. And the body was dropped on his grave. And now my question is that, was it the anointing that was not imparted in another individual, like I was supposed to say that I want to see the impact of the anointing from me unto you? Now my question is, the anointing that was the man with the death, was it the anointing that was supposed to be passed to the house that Elisha returned even to death? That is my first question.
If I understand you very well, I hope I do, the anointing that was on Elijah was given a double portion to Elisha. But Gehazi could not receive the anointing from Elisha. So the anointing followed Elisha to the grave. Brother Elvis from Thailand. No. Listen. The anointing, I want you to understand, the Bible said the gift and calling of God is without repentance. Once God has given you a gift, it remains with you. It remains so much until sometimes even your picture alone, that anointing still flows even through your picture. And he went to the grave. So also, it is a type of all the believers. The Holy Ghost that we receive will be with you even in your grave. It is that same grace anointing on you that guarantees your resurrection. And the grace was so much on Elisha that even his bones resurrected the dead. Praise the Lord. So the same anointing that was on Christ, Romans chapter 8 verse 11, if the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he said, he that raised up Christ from the dead, he said, it will quicken the mortal body by that spirit that dwelleth in you. The spirit that dwelleth in you, and it dwells in you even in the grave. God bless you. Yes, let me hear you, brother. Or oh, sister, yes.
Praise the Lord.
Let me answer the Skype. Sandra Saka from Togo. I visited a church of believers of the end time message of Brother William Branham. All the women didn't cover their head. I asked a sister about it. She told me that the prophet said that women here are already veiled. And in his ministry at that time, women didn't veil their head. Please, is this true? Please, can you link me to some brethren here in Togo? And how can I be re-baptized in Jesus' name? I'm an interpreter in a denominational church. Now that I've gotten a revelation, I want to live there. How do I live in peace? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's something I love about the ministry of William Branham. That man was a very honest person. Sincere. Truthful. He came to give us a guide. He came to return us back to the Bible. And he told us that the Bible is his absolute. And he expects every believer to hold the Bible above the word of any other person, including himself. And he said, if you hear me teach anything contrary to the Bible, he said, you throw my own away and hold to the one in the Bible. And the Bible tells me that when a woman is praying with her hair uncovered, she dishonored her head. I will hold to that of the Bible. I will not hold to any other one. Thank you very much. God bless you. And concerning your position in the denomination, whether you are an interpreter or a pastor, whatever it is, the knowledge of truth bestows upon you a responsibility. And if it is God you are looking for and not a position in the church, the day you find out that what you are doing, there is no God in it, and you see God somewhere, you will follow. I don't know who will help me look for this scripture. There was an incident. Is it John? I will look for it. John chapter 1. I will show you something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, it should be John. I wish. Let the ministers help me with a scripture. One of the disciples of John. Thank you very much, my pastor there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me read it from verse 35. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 from verse 35. Again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his own disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he told those disciples, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They left John and began to follow Jesus. Why? Because they had been looking for the Messiah. And the person that baptized them, John, his disciple, as soon as John told them, see the person where they preach here, maybe that, they abandoned John without holding a meeting with John. If you won't go. Amen. Now there is something I've observed with the average Christian. Two things. The average Christian has been so brainwashed to believe more in his church than in the Bible. The average Christian has been, that's the second thing, has been made to believe. To believe his pastor so much until the pastor has the final say concerning his eternal destination. If not, how will you expect that somebody willingly on your own voluntarily walk and join a church, but to leave becomes difficult? You have been bewitched. Even the constitution of Nigeria guarantees freedom of religion. I am here today, I don't do again. I change. And nobody can take you to court. So, why is it difficult for you to leave a church? See, 1995, when I discovered one church that was better than my church, an intermediate church, I was their, you know, an influential, I was their song leader in that church for 5 years. So I was close to the pastor. In fact, they borrowed me some money. I was in financial crisis. I was owing the pastor. When I discovered that church, and what I was looking for was there, I went to meet them. They were having their meeting, the pastors in the church. I said, last Sunday is the last time you see me in your church. I have decided to change church. Now, and I did not pray over it before going to meet him. There was no single thought whether the man would agree or not. There was nothing like that. And the man was saying, why now, Brother Moses, why? I said, no, it's a spiritual thing. I saw a place there that I want to try. And I said, is anything wrong with it? Don't I have the freedom to do it? I don't know why it's difficult for you. And I insisted until they pray for me. I pray for me, oh, as I'm leaving your umbrella. I knelt down, they prayed for me. There is no big deal about it. No big deal. And of course, having been there for 5 years, everybody there knew me. So if anything was going in that church, I would be there. We will hug ourselves. I will hug with the pastor. We will greet ourselves. Until now, there's nothing. And that's not the only church I have left. Why is it difficult for you to leave a church? It is either you are glorifying Mumu or you have been bewitched. And I told the pastor, I said, hey, I know that they owe you. I will pay your money as soon as I have it. But I must go. Why should you use the money when you give me, tie me for your church? And about 2 months after I got the money, I sent his money back to him. There's nothing there. Why is it difficult? You fear your pastor. Hey, Christianity. Any of you listening to me now, you have been bewitched by your pastor. I lose you in the name of Jesus. All of you. All of you. Okay, though, you are answering amen for them. Thank you. Somebody from another church, let me not mention the name of the church, from Benin, you may be watching me now, sent me another text that he is their Sunday school teacher in that denomination. And now that he has seen the truth, he wants to leave. But I should help him. How should he leave? Amen. It's the same question. How, like her? How you take enter there? It's true. Why is it difficult for you to leave a place? But it's God that sent me there. Yes, he has served his purpose for sending you there. Move on with your spiritual life. That is why God sent William Branham with a message in this age. Come out of her, my people, and don't be partakers of her sins. Thus said the Lord. And let me tell you, if it is revelation that made you to leave a church, no curse can ever work. Because it will be God himself taking you out. But if you commit there and now you go, the curse will follow you. That's the truth. But if it is revelation, it means it is God himself pulling you out. Okay, thank you very much, my sister. What other question? Okay. How will you be baptized in the name of Jesus? Okay, please. In Togo, we have message churches. Okay, that sister, listen to me in Togo. Listen, in that church that you went, you have already visited a church. Your only problem there is that they don't cover their hair. But their doctrine for water baptism is correct. So go to that same church and ask them that you want to be baptized. Let the pastor of that church baptize you. They will baptize you according to the scripture, although they open their hairs, contrary to the scripture. They were all good. Identify with it. Go and be baptized in that same church. God bless you. Yes? Yes, sister?
Yeah? Okay.
Rosemary from Germany, God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
Yes.
Please, sir, I wanted to know the difference between baptism of the Holy Ghost and the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Rosemary from Germany.
Yeah, God bless you, sir.
God bless you, too. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to baptism of the Holy Ghost, we are talking about the Spirit of God that comes upon a mortal man, a sinner, because all have sinned. All of us are sinners. For which reason Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary? He comes there, and that Spirit that regenerates comes upon a sinner and does a work of transformation that changes your sin nature and transforms you into a saint by giving you the ability to live a life that is pleasing before God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost extends to your soul, but the anointing of the Holy Ghost is when God wants to use you for any particular purpose. It may not be for salvation. It is just for a purpose of using you. He wants to use somebody to be showing vision. He wants to use somebody to be healing. And it is a gift. Psalm 68 verse 18 says he giveth his gift to all men, even to the rebellious. He gives to anybody at all for a particular purpose. The hand of God coming upon you for a particular purpose that God wants to use you is just the anointing. It does not convert you. How do we know? By their fruits. So, that is the difference. And that is the reason why we keep teaching here that don't mistake the anointing of the Holy Ghost for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is for God to use you. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not just for God to use you. He will both use you and save you. That is the difference. God bless you.